Thank you. I'm Charles Fontanier, and I will be presenting results from my master's research project entitled Effects of Improved Ryegrass Cultivars on Spring Transition of Warm Season Turfgrass Fairways. In the southern United States, it is common for managers to utilize a winter overseeding system in order to provide green grass year-round, as well as help in divot recovery and wear tolerance during the winter dormancy period of the warm season turf. And the most common system utilizes perennial ryegrass into a hybrid Bermuda grass stand. And this system works fairly well, although one area of concern is the spring transition period, which at times can cause managers to use additional inputs in order to transition back into the Bermuda grass more quickly. And this picture illustrates a thin Bermuda grass stand taken in July as a result of perennial ryegrass overseeding. So, in keeping with the theme of the conference, what are some things that we can do for the future of overseeding in order to make this system more sustainable, improve spring transition without having these increased inputs such as cultivation and herbicidal transition aids? Well, one option might lie in using improved turf type annual ryegrasses, which breeders have improved on their turf characteristics and once again are viable options for overseeding. In addition to annual ryegrass alone, mixing annual with perennial ryegrasses might provide a increased or improved transition while maintaining acceptable quality in the overseeding stand. Additionally, seashore pass palm and Matrella type zoysia grasses have been used with increasing frequency in the southern United States, in part due to their niche characteristics, but also because they're considered lower input or more sustainable turf grasses. And so information on their ability to tolerate overseeding was desirable. This picture illustrates seashore pass palm, and just notice the poor winter color in College Station, Texas. So this leads to my study, in which I hypothesized that winter overseeding performance is dependent on the ryegrass species mix and the warm season turf use. And the objectives were to evaluate the overseeding potential of seashore pass palm and Matrella type zoysia grasses compared to the hybrid Bermuda grass, and observe the effects of the improved turf type ryegrasses on spring transition as well as summer quality. The study was a randomized complete block strip plot design. Main plots consisted of Cavalier zoysia grass, CIL-1 seashore pass palm, and Tifway 419 hybrid Bermuda grass. And subplots were the overseeding treatments listed as annual, being 100% Pantera annual ryegrass, mixed, 50-50 mix of the two, annual and perennial ryegrass, and perennial, being 100% Premier 2 perennial ryegrass, with control being unoverseeded. Their mode, 3 days a week, fertilizer varied depending on which growing season we were looking at, and irrigation also varied in order to, with the goal of preventing visual drought stress on the turf. Measurables included visual assessments of turf color, turf quality, and overseeding establishment, and quantitative assessments include leaf area index, clippings, above ground biomass, shoot density, light penetration into the canopy, as well as the others listed, and underlying measurables will be discussed here in my results section. The data in this chart illustrate overseeded turf quality as affected by warm season turf used. And on the y-axis over here is quality, 1 through 9, 6 being acceptable, with December through April being the dates. And I want to focus here on this March through April time period, where in March we've got no significant difference as a result of little activity from warm season grass at this point in the year, and ryegrass being the primary influence on quality. So as the Bermuda grass begins to be more active, there's a decline in quality, the result of a poor blending in the poly stand of active Bermuda grass and ryegrass. So it results in that reduced quality. Up here, seashore pass palm also is forming a poly stand at the same time. However, it's blending a little more aesthetically pleasing. and so quality is not reduced in this case. And then the zoysia grass also maintains quality, but interestingly enough, there's no real polystand being formed, and the zoysia has yet to really contribute to the visual canopy or any of the quality ratings. And then we get a little bit of a heat wave. The ryegrass starts to decline in the zoysia grass, and because there's very little zoysia grass there to sustain quality, the whole plot quality is reduced. So a little closer look at zoysia grass. This is quality ratings again with the same rate or scale on the y-axis. April through October is the time frame. And I want to focus first here on the control. Notice that it comes up and has excellent quality throughout the growing season. However, after this sort of equivalence point in June, all three overseeding treatments begin to recover or transition at different rates, with the annual being slightly better than the mixed, being slightly better than the perennial. However, none of them really were adequate in relation to the control, and so there really was not a acceptable transition of any of the overseeding mixes in zoysia grass. So moving on to percent full sun area in a canopy. With percent full sun on the y-axis, the dates May through October on the x. And the data in this chart show how light area in the canopy increases as ryegrass is vacating, leaving empty voids for light to enter the canopy. Here, Bermuda grass and zoysia grass have a spike as loss of density occurs. And then the Bermuda grass begins to recover. The zoysia grass has a spike later on and is slower to recover. But notice the seashore pass pollen maintains steady density throughout the growing season. This data shows warm season leaf area index with leaf area index on the Y, each species on the X-axis, and this is taken in July. So we would expect a reasonable amount of recovery from overseeding at this point. And looking at zoysia grass, the annual ryegrass led to a little bit more zoysia grass leaf area, then did the mix, then did the perennial, so it seemed to work a little bit there. But overall, the take-home message is the best we could get was about half of the leaf area of the control, and that's really not acceptable in July, or by July. Looking at seashore pass palm, we don't get a whole lot of impact at this point. Most of the recovery had occurred, and again, Bermuda grass also. But take note of the large leaf area index of seashore pass palm in relation to both other species. So to sum up some of my results, seashore pass palm provided an excellent overseeding medium. It transitioned extremely well in terms of an excellent polystand when both species were growing together, as well as excellent summer quality. However, I note that good establishment is vital. That poor winter color really allows any thin areas in your ryegrass stand to show through a little bit more easily than the other species. Overseeding affected Bermuda grass, but it was not treatment specific. And so there was some impact on the Bermuda grass. It was affected a little more than the seashore pass palm in terms of our measurables, but it was not treatment specific. So annual ryegrass didn't really improve our transition over the perennial ryegrasses. And the final note would be zoysia grass should not be overseeded, and that confirms what others have said previously. But even annual ryegrass and the mix of annual and perennial ryegrass couldn't improve it to an acceptable level. And so this leads me to ask why do these three turf species act so differently in this overseeding system? And I like to pull a lesson from a rangeland ecology paper in which they use the two models to kind of identify plants coexisting in a grassland and how they compete with one another. So resource models is the first term, and it would be defined as a plant that is trying to compete and survive by reserving or conserving those resources, perhaps more shade tolerant, a little bit lower in the canopy, and that's its way of surviving. The canopy model would be a plant that's trying to get to the top of the canopy and really intercept that light at its highest point, typically going to have higher photosynthetic rates, as well as higher light demands, and typically a greater stem tissue to support this model. So let's relate this to our overseeding system. Bermuda grass, to me, represents the canopy model, and that's because of its stemmier leaves. It has a high proportion of leaves at the tops of the canopy. It also has high light demands, and visually can form that polystand very readily early in our spring transition. So it is trying to get to the top of that canopy. The ryegrass, on the other hand, would be, in particular, perennial ryegrass, would be a resource model because it's much leafier. It's got larger leaves. It tends to be a little more compact and more shade tolerant. And so as a result, you get somewhat of a coexistence between these two species during the spring transition period. And really, weather patterns have been found to be some of the most influential inputs into whether or not you get a good transition or a timely transition, because these two species seem to be happy coexisting together as long as the climate or the weather conditions are appropriate. Looking at seashore past palm, however, I've listed it as being both models, although perhaps it's a separate model would be more appropriate. But it gets to the top of that canopy and fights for light, if you will, similar to Bermuda, but it has much more leaves, as seen in those leaf area indices. And so it can not only get to the top, but it can branch out and really dominate that spring stand. So finally, why did the zoysia grass fail so terribly? Well, because it's also a resource model. Larger leaves, more compact, and it really just isn't designed to fight to get to the top of that canopy. And the result, it really never became present until ryegrass completely declined. At this point, I'd like to open for questions.
Time for a few questions.
Yes?
How do you calculate leaf area index?
The question was, how do I calculate leaf area index? For our study, we used a destructive sampling using a 1-inch probe in which leaves were physically removed from the sheaths or pseudostems, and then scanned in a flatbed scanner and then analyzed using a Sigma Scan software. Yes, sir.
I did show your data about for these treatments, the oak seed treatment, and with the warm season grass, were there any grasses that went through a period where the ryegrass died and left a lot of straw in the canopy?
Was it right? The question is, did the ryegrass die and leave a lot of dead straw? I did not show that data, and really we didn't focus on that aspect of it. The annual ryegrasses typically were getting more stemmy and gave that impression, certainly, than the perennial ryegrasses did. And in zoysia grass, there was the case where we had a lot of bare soil at the end of the overseed when the ryegrass died out. And at that point, there's a lot of straw on the ground. But no, we didn't examine that aspect of it closely.
Did you see any that was noticeable, you know, at any time? Or did you have a nice seeding rate?
We had good transitions both years, I'll say. We had high seeding rates, and I was kind of surprised that they all transitioned as well as they did. But that was the case. 976 kilograms per hectare, or about 20 pounds per thousand. Yes?
How do you prepare the surface?
Do we prepare the surface? Minimal preparation. We just put it, we use shaker jars to apply the seed and really just let water do the rest of the work.
Thank you,
Charles.